B-Pod Studios.
On the line with us right now, a man that I've referred to as the content king most recently, Adam Lefko joins us right now. Adam, good morning, man. Thanks for joining us.
The CK, the content king. How are you guys?
All things considered, we're all home broadcasting from our home bunker studios, I guess. But you, sir, seem like you're doing just fantastic. The stuff you've been doing with Shaq, the stuff you've been doing with Dwayne Wade and Candace Parker has been nothing short of spectacular. But before we get to that, what I understand, you were born in Philly, you were raised in the burbs?
I was raised in Holland, Pennsylvania, Bucks County. Shout out to all the boys out there.
I grew up in Doylestown. All right.
So I would have gone to Council Rock, and then I think too much of my friends smelled like a green plant, and my parents sent me to Abington Friends. And then from then on, man, I had those Quaker values instilled in me. You know
nice.
What I mean?
Oh, it totally comes through on the broadcast, let me tell you. No, it's great, man. That's awesome. And most recently, you've been doing the NBA on TNT, which is just a phenomenal job you do on that show.
And thanks, man.
With Shaq and D-Wade and Candace Parker, like I said. But what really rubbed me the wrong way, and what was one of the reasons I wanted to get you on with us, is because, you know, we grew up Sixers fans, right? We all watched 2001. We all suffered those final four games of that series with the Lakers taking it to the Sixers in the final four games after the overtime win and the step over with AI, and Shaq comes out and tells you, you know what? I kind of mailed it in. I kind of mailed it in that series at the end. I didn't want to block.
That's
I didn't
want to
block. I didn't want to block Allen Iverson's shot. I chose to let him go. And then the next breath, he said they wanted to win.
It was two separate things. Uh-huh. I asked Shaq, because before he got on, Wade and Candace both told me that the reason they wore three is because of Iverson. And so that was cool. And then I said, and then Shaq came on 35 minutes late. And I go, Shaq, what do you remember about Iverson? And that's when he said, Wade knows there were four players all the time that I wanted to see them work. So I didn't go full hard against them. And it was Iverson, White Chocolate, Tracy McGrady, and Vince Carter. Obviously, I don't believe him. Wade was cracking up. He didn't believe him either. But the whole 2000-2001 NBA Finals was because Candace asked, what did Phil Jackson say after the step over? Like, was he like, Tyrone, it's all good? And that's when Shaq said, he brought us into the hallway and he made us listen to Aaron McKee and George Lynch and all those guys celebrating in the hallway and said, that's what happens when you don't listen to me. So it was like two in the same breath. I don't know about you guys. Like, for me, this is me, my Philadelphia sports ranking games. Personally, number one, Super Bowl. Number two, over the Phillies winning the World Series, is game one of the NBA Finals for me when AI dropped 51 and they beat the Lakers.
Wow.
I remember the Rajah Bell stepping. I remember the Eric Snow under 1 minute. I can't believe he's shooting this. I can't believe we're winning. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I remember losing the rest of the series, but still feeling like it was sort of like in 300 when he shoots the arrow and it hits the dude and he bleeds a little bit and you're like, wow, he's human. I felt like we did that to the Lakers. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Xerxes, a god king indeed. So a lot of great stuff came out from the podcast. And I want to backtrack for a second because you also did a great prank on Jason Kelce some time ago his brother Travis. And we haven't had a chance to catch up with you since then. But Jason Kelce just got snubbed on the all-decade team here. Travis made it as a tight end. Jason Kelce did not make it as a center, even though he's a three-time all-pro, and a Super Bowl champion, something that Marquise Pouncey can't say and something that Alex Mack can't say either. So I feel like Jason Kelce got a snub here.
Well, I think Jason Kelce for his career has been snubbed. I think just the fact that he's seen as so small. Look, the Pouncey's, anytime that you're like a first-round pick offensive lineman, you're going to get a lot of benefit of the doubt as your career goes on because people still go, ooh, Jake Matthews, he's really good. And it's like, no, he's on the Jaguars. So I think that's a little bit of that. Alex Mack also was on the historically great Atlanta Falcons team that 1 year. But I agree. I don't like these rankings because there's never a tier. It's just the guy that gets it and then everybody else. And it's what you guys are saying is Jason Kelce, if he's not 1A, he's 1B. But because you didn't say that, he's just snubbed. Like, right. Drew Brees isn't on that list either, but he's probably the third quarterback behind Aaron Rodgers. But, man, I'll tell you what, we did not know we were pranking Jason Kelce until that day. We thought it was going to be Mahomes, and then Travis was like, my brother's here. And I was like, we're getting Jason. And when that wine spilled, he shot up and just, he left. Like, we couldn't show it because he left for 15 minutes. And he was like, she's blaming me. This is ridiculous. But he was such a nice guy. And the thing is when you meet Jason Kelce, you understand why this team, the last two Decembers, has roared back and made a playoff appearance. Because you just go, Jason Kelce and the Malcolm Jenkins and the Jason Peters of the world aren't going to let this happen. You know what I mean? Right. That's just their personality.
Yeah.
Adam, what do you make? You mentioned Jason Kelce, and he's certainly been one of the great leaders in this locker room. And this locker room, it just seems like it needs leaders. It needs somebody to kind of take the reins of leadership. What do you make of the stories that have been out there about Carson Wentz and his leadership and making decisions in the personnel world, basically passing on talented wide receivers because they might not mesh well with Carson? What do you make of all that talk?
I thought what last year did, other than, in my opinion, last year was a success in my book because with all those injuries, I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs when they lost to Miami. And the fact that we knocked the Cowboys out of the playoffs, I don't care what anyone says, 2019 was a success for me. And the other reason it was a success is because it was the year that Carson Wentz proved that he could do it. Everyone can and talk about the defense, and I get it. But look at the last four games of the year. It was like a 30 spot, a 30 spot, a high 20, a 30 spot. And Carson Wentz was throwing touchdowns in the back of the end zone, and it was when everybody was doubting him. Orlando Skandrick was on NFL Network. You know, we got all these reports from Josina Anderson, but Carson and Doug got it done. And that's what I think happened last year, is that the entire team looked at 11 and said, he's our guy. And it's interesting because I got a chance to interview a few of the members of the Seattle Seahawks defense at Super Bowl. So Cliff Averill, a bunch of those guys. And I said, in the beginning, did you guys respect Russ? And they said that, honestly, Russell Wilson he still is this corny dude that's like, all of us must think about winning 100% of the time. And the defense is like, yo, we're the baddest boys on the planet. Get out of here. And it took him winning the Super Bowl, but also like doing it by himself a little bit for them to go, okay. And then when you saw Marshawn back there in the playoffs, he's dapping up Russ, and he never did that. And I kind of think Carson's the same kind of a leader. He's this North Dakota guy that's probably more likely to be seen at Cabela's, you know what I mean, than down there on Broad Street. And I think that it took him last year showing everybody, get on my back. And I think it's going to change now. And to be honest, look, man, Alshon is one of my favorite Eagles of all time because of what he did. But, like, dude, he's getting a little slow. It's time to move on. And, like, if he's going to have issues with Carson, then see you later.
Adam, what do you think of the moves that the Eagles did make so far in this offseason with shoring up the defense with Hargrave? Obviously, you got Darius Slay coming in. Right. Do you think that's enough that next year, instead of just beating the Cowboys to keep them out of the playoffs, the goals are higher and achievable?
I think that defensively, there's a clear hole at linebacker. I think our D-line is beautiful. The fact that we're getting Malik Jackson back, we'll see if salary-wise they still keep him. I think they do, but that's like getting another free agent. What you have on the back end right now is Darius Slay and about 7 or 8 mix-and-match pieces. I really like Will Parks. That we got from Denver. But other than Jatavis Brown, I think we need a linebacker. I was doing a podcast yesterday with the Stick to Football guys, and they think that Patrick Queen, that LSU linebacker, is a possibility if they don't go wide receiver. Offensively, you know who the season comes down to for me? Andre Dillard. Like, yeah. We took him last year in the first round, and it was beautiful timing, and now Jason Peters is moving on, and in terms of like managerial timing, it's perfect. The only question is are we going to get the Seattle game where he's shown his tells, or are we going to see a major jump in year two? Because if the line is there, man, we can make this work, because I think we're going to get a weapon. I really hope Howie reaches outside the organization, because anybody in there last year telling him to take Arcega-Whiteside over Metcalf and McLaurin should not be listened to anymore in terms of wide receiver evaluation.
Cross your fingers. We should be so lucky they just ignore that guy. Like, I'm almost glad that they can't be in the same room, because it's more likely that guy will get ignored. But when you look at everything surrounding this season, would you bet on it, though, wide receiver first round?
I think it depends how they fall. So
okay.
There's a top three wide receiver that I don't think any of them are escaping 15, and that's Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, and CeeDee Lamb. Like, two number ones, and then Henry Ruggs is like, I can make another Tyreek Hill, and I don't think they're escaping 10 to 15, which is like Broncos, Niners, Raiders. And if one of them does, they're not getting by the Raiders at 19. So I think if Justin Jefferson's there at 21, we've all seen the mocks. We're all looking at the same stuff. That would be amazing. The other ones kind of scare me. The kid Mims out of Baylor, I hear, needs a little bit more development. And I haven't really seen that in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. We're a lot better with like made products. But I think it's linebacker, the safety out of Alabama, or wide receiver. And I'd probably put wide receiver at one.
All right, speaking with Adam Lefko, NBA on TNT, Bleacher Report, the Adam Lefko Show. I want to tap into your more NBA knowledge from you. That gig has to be the dream gig of dream gigs. First off, it's a heritage show in itself, NBA on TNT. They just do a phenomenal job overall. When you got the news that you, in fact, were going to be sitting in that chair, man, how much of a thrill was that for you?
I was in a restaurant with the person that told me, and they were like, so, the Tuesday show, and I'll just tell you the true story. I thought for sure they were going to be like, and we'd love for you to do a digital segment where you bring up cool tweets. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I'm the Bleacher Report guy. And they were like, look, because before this, man, they let me do play-by-play of the Rising Stars. I hosted the match, the Tiger and Phil thing. Mm-hmm. And she was like, look, after doing all that, it looks like we're going to get D-Wade. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. And they're like, it's going to be Shaq and Candace Parker. And I go, oh, that's a great crew. And they're like, and we'd like you to host it. And I like stood up and I like walked around the restaurant and I came back and I said, say it again. And you said it again. I was like, oh, that's amazing. What's the coolest thing, and you guys will appreciate this, we all want to work with people that will make us better and will challenge us. And for me, the way that I love to do content, the way that I love to do anything is there's no script. Like, we know what we're going to talk about, but let us figure it out. I don't have to get to this graphic. I don't have to make this comment. And the cool thing about TNT is they're like, the producers will literally go, okay, here's your A block. Go with it wherever you want. So it's a lot of pressure because you're kind of producing on the fly. Mm-hmm. But at the same point, I'd rather do that than be like, and now let's break down who's going to get the sixth seed in the West. and when you sit next to Shaq, and in the middle of the show, he goes, hey, Adam, I'm going to make this go viral. And then, like, looks in his camera, sticks out his tongue, and says, what up, Rihanna? And then, like, 5 minutes later, we're in the back, and I see, like, on a very popular website, it's like, check out Shaq, stick out his tongue, and holler at Rihanna. And he looks at me, and he's like, told you. And it's like, that's a superpower, bro. You can't do that.
Yeah, that is a superpower. From a basketball standpoint, I mean, you have the advantage of local and national when it comes to talking about the Sixers. So, what do they think nationally of Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons? What's the makeup there? Because we certainly have some questions here in Philly. We also have some things we love about the guys. But from the national perspective, what do we have here in Philly with Simmons and Embiid?
The national perspective is that both of them can be stars and both of them can be bet on, and a lot of people like them individually. But a lot of people that I have talked to kind of, they sense that when they're together, something doesn't seem right. And this just isn't as players. It's also like a personality thing. And they say, like, the people that I've talked to, it's not like they don't like each other. It's just like they're kind of there. And I think the issue is they all, everybody says something needs to change just like we do, but they don't know what it is. Is it Brett Brown? Is it a change of scenery? Is it a supporting cast? I think, look, man, we know what we had. We had a team this year that was bordering on getting really disappointing when we got to the playoffs. Tobias is not playing like the $180 million. Ben and Joel individually can figure it out. Joel, when he's motivated together, it doesn't really click. They seem like they're a part away. You talk about needing a leader. You know, that's a team right now that seems like it needs a leader. And I'm curious because this was a huge transition year for the Sixers. This was supposed to be the, if it doesn't happen year, it could be Brett Brown's behind. You know what I mean? And yeah. Now because the season, who knows, does all that get pushed back for another year? Does it extend it? Does it make them make a decision quicker? So, look, I'm seeing other teams right now looking for new spots, but the Sixers are standing pat because it's incomplete. So I'm very curious how the owners and the management here are going to evaluate possibly a shortened season in what was supposed to be a huge year.
Adam, if the NBA does somehow get back into play, and you know, we've heard all the stuff about Las Vegas, maybe a 16-team tournament, whatever it may be, if they do go back to some kind of a shortened season to find a championship, do you see a team or maybe a few teams that have a decided advantage of coming back to play like that?
Man, well, I guess it really depends on, I guess, how everybody's health is. You know what I mean? And the veterans are obviously the people that are taking care of their body right now. You know, like when I go on Bleacher Report, I know it's going to trend. So it's like people playing video games and stuff. But you have to imagine the older guys and the wealthier guys have more things available to them. In-home gyms, the people with the franchise contracts are going to have more of those availabilities, at-home chefs. And I do think that matters in terms of, hey, guess what? Your body has to go right away. But in terms of, I don't even know what the brackets are, but I would go Milwaukee, I would say. But to me, I'm so interested because if this is a forgotten season and the Lakers are one of the teams that truly had their eyes on the championship, mm-hmm. I've just been fascinated with how this fan base is going to handle possibly a canceled season when the Lakers had a chance. Because one thing you learn when you work nationally, Philadelphia is intense, but the Lakers are like a mob. It's like an online mob, bro. I've never seen anything like it. Philly is like, don't mess with us. Lakers are like, we have arrived and you shall crown us immediately. It's incredible.
Speaking with Adam Lefko, first off, are you going to get back involved with Tiger and Phil if that does in fact happen again, which it looks like it will?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen in May. Like, I saw that story. That's crazy, but I'm definitely trying to jump on. I'm curious how they're going to change it up. You know, they've talked about, I was talking to Kevin Clark of The Ringer about this, that they're thinking about maybe putting in Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
For me, I would love to see two famous people that are like comedians. I want to see them you need commentary out there. You need people busting balls and yelling at each other and trying to intimidate each other. So I think Peyton Manning would be funny. I don't think Tom Brady would be great. That's just my own opinion.
Yeah.
But I also would love to like embed an announcer right next to them. Cause I think there's something about them lining up and then hearing Nance be like, and now from 55 feet, Tiger Woods with a 9-iron, and just like seeing their reactions.
Yeah.
It'll be great, man, but I'm hoping to jump on for sure.
All right, so maybe Bill Murray, throw him in.
I was thinking Bill Murray also, yeah.
Pull the strings, Bill Murray, yeah.
Bill Murray and Ray Romano, throw them out there.
I'll give Bill Murray a call on a secret cell phone.
Yeah, right. last thing, I mean, Adam, again, it's a great thing for you to be with NBA on TNT, and you've been able to accomplish a lot, a rising star, obviously, and already up there. What's next, man? What would you ultimately, I mean, what would be next for you?
Well, hold on. So, Mark, you got a gig in radio years ago from sending in a tape, right?
More or less, yeah.
Okay. So, like, for me, it's hilarious that y'all asked me to come on 97.5 because when I was growing up, I would literally be the dude calling up at like 1:30 in the morning trying to be like, no, I'm totally 18. And then you're like, what year did you graduate? I was like doing math. And I remember one time I got kicked off for talking about John Lennon's arm hair. I was just fascinated by it. They're like, he's not 18. So for me, it's none of this makes sense. The only thing that I know to do in life, whether that's like career-wise or with our current quarantine situation, is I got to do work. So for me, the other thing that I've learned is it's not about what I find entertaining. It's about what people find entertaining. And then it's my job to provide that for them. So I just want to keep making content. I'm going to keep making videos out of my apartment right now and doing podcasts. And like I DM'd Ja Rule. I was like, I wonder if Ja Rule's bored. And he's like, I'll come on. And I was like, okay. So for me, it's like, if you think that there's a mountaintop, you're going to be really disappointed when you get there. Because the only thing more frustrating to me than unfulfilled potential is realizing your potential and it's not enough. So as long as you just keep working and keep going and keep doing what you want to do, you'll find the reward in that. Because I don't know, man, like when you meet Ernie and you see the true GOAT and you realize that like he doesn't get done a show and high five Chuck and be like, man, we killed it tonight. Then it's more they look at each other and go, love you. I'll see you next week. And you realize that the process is all that matters. I'm getting real existential.
No, that's great, man. Keep going.
That's like my mindset. Because I think, look, man, we're in an industry where a lot of people want to size each other up and see who's the best. And I know Philly Talk Radio, like they really care about like ratings and all that stuff. But for me, in the end, those things will frustrate you longer. So that's kind of my mindset, to be honest.
Adam Lefko, such a pleasure talking to you. Content King, Adam Lefko. Thanks for coming
man.
On.
Man, appreciate you guys. MB all day.
Thanks, Adam. Lefko, Jordan. Thanks a lot. Make sure you check out his stuff, obviously, on NBA on TNT. You can also check out the Adam Lefko Show, Bleacher Report. He does so many great things with Shaquille O'Neal, Dwayne Wade, Candace Parker as well, doing a great job. Adam Lefko right there. I think Adam is the definition of that line that we've talked about before, which is sometimes you have to realize when you have it made. And like, hey, look, if the world gives him more that he has earned, if he gets more, earned status, then all the power to him. But he's got a pretty great gig right now, and he realizes that. That's awesome. 610-632-0975. And I hate that storyline about Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Absolutely hate it.
Well, it's true.
No, well, where's the story though? Where's the story? Oh, they're not best friends. You know what I mean? But they don't hate each other. So what? They're colleagues. Good. That's what I want them to be.